In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The conscience just refuses to be killed. Herod hears the report of Jesus and immediately knows that it is John the Baptist. It has to be returned from the dead. He's wrong, of course, but no one could convince him otherwise if they tried. His conscience remembers what he had done. His conscience had caused it in the first place, his and his illegitimate wife's. Herod had taken his brother's wife, that's a no-no even in the Playboy's playbook, and certainly contrary to God's gift of holy marriage. But John was the prophet. He was sent to do the unpopular work of teaching God's word in its truth and purity. His sermon was a call to repentance, a desperate effort to get that deadened conscience of Herod to resonate with God's law again. It is not lawful for you to have her. Herod listened, but refused to hear. And Herodias compelled him to abuse his power and imprison John so that she would not even have to listen. And finally, of course, to have John murdered when the chance presented itself. We sometimes call what Herod did murdering his conscience. St. Paul calls it having a seared conscience, a conscience that is so burnt that it can no longer hear God's word or resonate with it. The Lord has written his law into our hearts, true enough, but the world and temptation and our own sinful nature has a way of rubbing it out and dimming God's law in us. We always need God's external word to come and correct us, to rebuke us, and to set us straight. We need it to accuse and convict us. And then, of course, we need the only true solution to our guilty consciences. We need a clean conscience, which comes only through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the danger of a dulled and a seared conscience like Herod's? Well, we get to watch this dramatic soap opera unfold. Herod, content to have his stepdaughter ogled by all of his lecherous dinner guests, and then, of course, joining in with them, making foolish promises to her, maybe half drunk, choosing his prestige and his ego over true honor when that deal goes so south. And we even see the foolishness of Herodias's daughter, willing to give in to her mother's selfish request. And what does she get out of the deal? A bloody head. What a mess. And when Jesus comes preaching the very same message as John, repent and believe the gospel, Herod's conscience pricks him yet again. Now this is good. This is the Holy Spirit at work, as he always is, in God's word, to call sinners to repentance. Again, to wake up that deadened conscience and to bring a little softness to the seared conscience, to convict sinners of sin because they do not believe, as Jesus says in John's gospel. But the hardened heart refuses to hear it. It protects its pride and believes ghost stories more easily than the words of God. What can we say but, Lord, have mercy, protect us from this Heavenly Father. And give us instead, Lord, a conscience like St. John's, firm in faith, returning always to Jesus like he did earlier from prison, trusting in Jesus' mercy and being so confident in it that we are not afraid to let God's law do its hard work on us, because we know that whoever the Lord lays low, he also raises. Whoever bears his accusation also receives his comfort in the absolution. And whoever dies for his name's and for his truth's sake, Jesus will bring back to life again. And I mean truly at the last day. That's why the story ends so peacefully, even though it was so chaotic. John's disciples take his body and they bury it. And that's not a sad ending, because they also tell Jesus about it. For whoever believes in him, even though they die, yet shall they live. Jesus gives a clean conscience, and precious in his sight is the death of his saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.